God bless you.
Mungu akudaliseni.
It's good to be here.
Ndi chabwino kukhala tili pano.
And we are here by God's grace.
Ndipo tili pano chifukwa chisomo cha Mulungu.
Amen. Shall we just speak to the Lord?
Tingoyankhula kwa Ambuye.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together with brothers that we may not have known each other physically. But, Lord, you saw this day coming. And so we want to humble ourselves, and we desire that we step out of the way and that you step in. So now, Lord, we surrender our thoughts and our minds to you as we ask that you take over, and that every soul that is in here, none shall go back home the same. But the Lord, you shall minister to each and everyone. So, Lord, we are so thankful. We all want to submit ourselves to you, from the person speaking down to the person who is ushering. Everyone, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I bring greetings to you. From Zambia. Okay. Let us go to Acts chapter 1, verse 15. Let us read Acts 1, verse 15 to 20. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with a reward of iniquity. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood.
Ndipo masiku awa anaimira Petro pakati pa abale nati, gula anthu losonkhana pamalo pomwe ndilo ngati azana limodzi makumi awiri. Amuna inu abale, kunayenera kuti lemba likwanisidwe, limene mzimu wera anayamba kunena mkamwa mwa Davide, akunena za Yudasi, wokhala msogoleri wa iwo adagwira Yesu, chifukwa anali owerengedwa mwa ife, ndipo analandira gawo lake la utumiki. Uyudu sono anazitengera kaziko ndi mphoto ya chosalungama, ndipo anagwa chamutu naphulika pakati, ndi matumbo ake onse anakhutuka, ndipo chinaziwika ndi onse akukhala ku Yerusalemu, kotero kuti manenedwe awo kaziko kanatchedwa Akeldama, ndiko kaziko kamwazi.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We may be seated. Now we are from reading a very sad story. Let us go back to the field of Akeldama and see what was happening. It was a place where people lived just the way we are here.
Anali malo amene anthu ankakhala monga mine timakhalira ife kuno.
In a place where people live,
pamalo pamene anthu akukhala,
we know things that are good, we know things that are bad.
Timaziwa zinthu zimene zilipo zabwino ndi zinthu zimene zilipo zoyipa.
There are places where we make gardens, where we take our hoes to go plant the food.
Pama kala malo, amene timasandusa minda yathu, timatenga makasu athu ndikupita kukalima zakudya zathu.
There are also places which are just bushy.
Ndipo pali malo ena kumene kumakukhala kutchire.
There are places where we throw rubbish.
Pali malo amene timatayirako zinyalala.
And now back in Jerusalem, I want us to imagine in our minds a usual walk path where people were moving to and fro, maybe from their homes to the market. But along this path of a field, people were observing and noticing something. A bad smell.
Fungo loipa.
Well, probably a couple of people who were walking down that path may have ignored it. But day after day, the ugly stench was growing stronger.
Fungo lagile ndori limamveka kwambiri.
Until everyone was talking about it.
Mpaka winalese amakamba za iro.
There's something smelling bad here.
Pali ina jake chikununkha moipa pano.
You know when a dog dies, it smells terribly.
Mukuziwa pamene galu wafa amanunkha moipisisa.
There's something with a human being.
Ndichindu chomwe choso ndi munthu.
The stench can be so bad, you want to close your nose as you walk down that path. Have you ever experienced that? Yeah, it's a terrible stench. Well, usually when we smell such a bad stench, we just smell and all, we say, well, there's a bad smell here, then we move on. Or maybe when you see it's a dog which has died, you just say, oh, poor dog. It got killed.
Oh, apedwa.
But you won't go home and start thinking about it. Because there is no value in animal life. But if you found a human being, well, you are going to scream. You are going to be moved. You alert other people. I've seen someone dead. And everyone will start crying and weeping. Oh, someone. Oh, we know this person. Or maybe he was killed. Or some bad thing happened. As people walked through this place, which was maybe bushy, the smell was getting stronger. And people were talking about it. There's a bad smell around here. So one day someone, well, thinks, let's go closer. We see where the bad smell is coming from. And what do they see? Well, they see a rope tied on a tree, across a very sharp, deep cliff. And looking up from where the rope is tied downwards, is a broken skull. Are worms moving in and out of that broken skull. They look around, they see a pile of dirt full of worms. Someone committed suicide. Someone killed himself. When someone comes to a place of killing themselves, they've reached to the extreme end of their struggle. They could not find consolation or a thought of sharing their burden with another person. Suicide is the worst way of dying. When someone has been killed, that's different.
Yes.
But when someone takes that rope and just hangs themselves, it means they're being pressed from the left, right, center, and they just take their lives away. No human being should die like that.
Yes.
But this man died. Who is this person? When people looked at the skull, they looked at his face, said, "Oh, we know him. It is that man who betrayed Jesus Christ."
Mm.
That was Judas Iscariot. When I was praying and meditating this morning, looking through the life of Judas, I wrote this little poem. See the worms, ugly and vile, creeping through the shattered pall, broken skull, oh pitiful sight, once an abode for thoughts that betrayed Christ.
Oh
wretched man, behold your end. The path of sin no soul can mend. Repent with a heart contrite and true. The Lord speaks light where darkness grew. See the worms, filthy and bold. Bold? No. They are filthy, but they are also bold. These are worms, they are filthy, but they are courageous. What are they doing? Feasting on bowels that once, you know, craved for gold. They are feasting on bowels that were once craving for gold. The belly,
mimba,
that once hungered for silver's gain, now lies in silence, devoured by shame. Sin is vain, and iniquity lies. The serpents whisper,
Yoga imanongoneza,
still leads many to death.
Kumabe imasogolera mbiri kuimfa.
Boza ya sipenti ikalu pereka mbiri kuimfa. But truth and grace have triumphed.
Koma chona dindiji somo chilinajo chipambanga.
Heed the call.
Veselani kukuitana.
Repent.
Lapan.
Your Savior comes in love. Amen.
Amen.
That's a reflection on the life of Judas. When people looked at that dead body, the ugly stench, the worms devouring that body, it was a sad sight. And remember, the Bible says, the bowels of this man burst open. You know what happens when an animal is killed? It begins to bulge, right? Full of hot air. It's terrible. That fullness, it's full of carbon dioxide, filth. It's full of worms. And then it bursts. And that's what happened to Judas.
Yes.
You have all these intestines pouring out. Now, when a thief steals money, why does he want that money? Because the stomach, the heart, is craving food, riches, desires. That's what this flesh wants. But when you look at those worms which were eating, what are they eating? They're eating the flesh of a man who once pursued gold, even at the expense of betraying Jesus Christ. What was the value? Why did Judas make such a decision? If he had seen how his end would be, would he have done that? Now, if you were standing nearby and you witnessed what happened, you saw Judas tying himself, and then you see his tummy bulging. You know the explosion? It's sudden.
Yes.
Oh, you feel, whoa, this is terrible. But what we see happening that day, it was not an event which just happened. There was a process. There was a time when this filthy, dead body was once alive.
Yes.
It could greet people. It could say, oh, my precious brother. Brother Judas was once alive.
Yes.
But here is something greater. Brother Judas once walked with Jesus Christ. When Jesus was eating at the table, Brother Judas was there.
Amen.
Every morning he bathed like everyone else.
Mm.
You bath, you want to look good, right?
Yes.
You spray some perfume if you have. You comb your hair. And well, we appreciate you when we see you.
Mm.
That was the life of Judas. One day he hears a knock on his door. Say, oh, Brother Judas, you are late. Now we are moving to Samaria. Oh, okay, I'm coming, brothers. And he takes his little bag. On they went with the Lord Jesus. Their feet Together with the Lord's feet, they crisscrossed the land of Israel.
Yes.
From the south to the north, from the west to the east. You and I today, we read about the miracles in the ministry of Jesus. Brother Judas was a witness of those testimonies. We read about Bartimaeus receiving sight. Judas saw those eyes receive
sight.
Oh, we read about Jesus walking on the water. Judas was a living witness to all these great testimonies. Water turning into wine. Brother Judas could sit down and tell you how great that miracle was. But what happened to our brother? How did he end up taking that rope and tying himself and his body hanging off that cliff?
Zinafika bwanji pamapeto kuti atenge chingwe ndi kuzimangirira ndi thupi lake ndi kukhala pamwamba potero.
That was the end result of sin.
Izo zinali zosatira za tchimo.
But we need to understand,
amen,
sin is a process before it becomes an event.
Tchimo ndi kuchita kopitirira chisanafike pa chochitika chenicheni.
Amen.
When the news broke out and said, oh, Judas killed himself. How did the brethren feel about that news? How did Brother Peter feel? How did Brother Matthew feel? The news reached them. Oh, our brother burst open. No matter how bad a person is, when you hear someone dies like that, it's always very sad to hear. Especially if you shared precious moments with that person. You know, when you are in a group, when you are fellowshipping, when you are walking together to the market, you may not see what lies deep in the heart of a person. Because the face can be very deceptive. And sometimes a person can smile, but they are dying inside them. Brother Judas,
Mbale Judas
is a face that other brothers saw every day. Before he became worms, before he became a broken skull, he had a name.
Yes.
He had a fellowship he went to.
Yes.
He had a ministry he associated with. When people heard about Jesus, people identified the faces that were associated with Jesus. And among the faces was the face of Brother Judas. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When Jesus sent the disciples, go, cast out devils, heal the sick, Brother Judas was there. But in the midst of all this ministry business, in the midst of this daily life routines, there was a thought that was growing in Judas. Always remember, before sin is an event, it's a process. There was a thought growing in Judas. There was an imagination in his mind. And it was growing. Listen to me, brothers.
Amen.
Satan
Satana
who always wants to find an opportunity to speak to your thoughts.
Ndawi zosa mafuna kupeza mwayo lankhuli akumalingaliro anu.
He throws seeds. He throws seeds.
Amaponya mbeu.
What becomes of those seeds depends on what you do with them.
Zimene zimasadira pa mbeu imeneyo zimangotengera kuti mukuchita nayo motani mbeu iyo.
You can take that seed and water it and provide manure for it and give it a conducive environment. When you do that, it will grow. You may hide it first, but it will grow. And later on, it will break forth from the ground. Things which once you were ashamed, you'll be able to do them without shame. Let us read James 1, verse 13
to 16.
We are looking at the thought at the feet of the Lord. James 1, verse 13.
Jacobo 1 dimeke 13.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man.
Munthu poyesedwa asaneni, ndiyesedwa ndi Mulungu. Pakuti Mulungu sakhoza kuyesedwa ndi zoyipa, ndipo iye mwini sayesa munthu.
But every man is tempted. When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren.
Ndipo uchimo utakula msingu ubala imfa. Musa nyengedwa abaleanga wokondedwa.
Are you seeing how sin grows?
Kodi mukuona momwe chimo limakulira?
Brother James here says, sin conceives.
Mbale Yakobo apa kuti chimo limachembeza.
Kubadwa kwa uchimo. Sin has a time
chimo imakana yondhawi
when it is getting born
pamene imabadwa
in the thought, in the mind.
Malingaliro.
What happens at that point?
Chimachitika ndijani panthawi imene?
When sin is getting conceived.
Pamene uchimo ukubadwa.
It's a thought.
Ndi ganizo.
It's an idea.
Ndi lingaliro.
Which is knocking. It wants your attention in the thoughts. Remember Cain? Cain was a serpent seed. But terrible as that was, sin did not just force itself in him. It was knocking on the door of his heart. When he saw the sacrifice of Abel being accepted, Cain started having some wrong thoughts. Jealousy. Anger. Against his brother. What was happening? Sin was getting born. God is gracious. He does not bring man to judgment without first warning him.
Yes.
What did God say to Cain? Says
Cain,
sin lies at the door of your heart. And you can rule over that sin. The sin was knocking. What that knock will do depends on what decision you make. The decision you make is not about what you speak with your mouth, it's about what actions you do. Cain entertained the thought. Until he entered into an argument with his brother. Before he realizes it, he got angry. He got an object and hit his brother. And Abel died. It started as a thought.
Amen.
The thought became an emotion. The emotion became an argument. Sin had entered the door. It sat in the throne of his heart. And Cain became a vessel to fulfill the desire of Satan.
Yes. Amen.
That is sin.
Judas
had a weakness. He had been called to be part of the disciples. But he still had a desire for money. He would hear the Lord speak. But his mind was business. Those were small seeds. It seemed innocent. You see, when you read his sad ending, you say, how could this man ever do such a thing? You mean all the 3 years he never understood the message of Jesus?
Yes.
Don't be mistaken. He was among those who were called to participate in what Jesus was doing. But don't be satisfied with God calling you and you are here. Because there's a journey we have. Many are called, but few are chosen.
Yes.
So let us serve God with fear and trembling. We shouldn't just boast in the great things God has done for us. But let us rejoice with fear. With humility.
Judas
had such a privilege. If I ask you, if you lived in the days of Jesus, how would you feel? Jesus coming to you. I want you to be part of what I'm doing. Well, we read the Bible. And the stories we read are so great. You say, oh, this is favor, this is grace. Let me walk with Jesus. And so the disciples were walking with Jesus. The feet of Jesus, they crisscrossed that country. And Judas was part of the journeys. Now here is something. When you are walking with a great person, don't just walk with his feet. Find time to sit and learn at his feet.
Amen.
Don't just walk with the feet. Try to observe the footprints.
Yes,
Judas walked with Jesus. But in all the 3 years, did he learn anything at the feet of the Lord?
Yes.
No.
Aye.
He actually despised the feet of Jesus. Let us go to John chapter
12.
You can never learn from what you despise.
Simungate kupuzira kuchoka kujimene inu mkujinyoza.
Amen.
Kapena kuchisura. Do you have that word in Chewa? Kusula chintu.
Sula, yeah.
You have that word?
Yeah.
How would you say that in English?
Kusula is remanufacturing.
No, remanufacturing gives a different meaning. I have a very compromised Zambian nyanja. You know, to despise is Pastor Verma, is that the right term he's using?
Yes, he's got the right word.
What's the word? Ah, yes. That's the word I was looking for. You can never learn from something which you despise. Amen. Amen. So when Judas was with Jesus, he walked with Jesus. Where the feet of Jesus went, the feet of Judas were also there. But did Judas learn something from where those feet were taking him? Because you see, what the feet of Jesus show you is for your lesson. Do you know there are certain things Jesus did for the lesson of the disciples? Remember when he saw that tree which had not produced fruit? And it was not even its season. Then Jesus cursed it. He says, no man will eat of this tree. Peter observed that. When they were walking there the following day, he was able to say, Lord, look what happened. And Jesus says, yes, if you have faith, there was a lesson given to them. So as you are walking with Jesus, you have to learn something. There were times he would withdraw himself to go and pray. I believe Peter and the other disciples, they learned something out of that. Because the feet of Jesus left footprints for them.
Amen.
But among them, did Judas learn anything from the footprints left by the feet of Jesus? Let us see one incident in John chapter
12.
Verse 1 to 8. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So Brother Judas knew about the testimony of Lazarus. Judas was not short of testimonies. He knew all these testimonies. He saw Lazarus. And now they went to the home of this man who was raised from the dead. Verse 2, there they made him a supper. And Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus goes in this home of Lazarus, Martha and Mary, and oh, they are from walking. And if you are from walking, and those days they never used to wear shoes, they would wear sandals. His feet were dusty. And well, they were welcomed in the home. Probably they had washed their feet. And Sister Martha was busy preparing the food. But there's this woman, Mary.
Maria.
She took her spikenard.
Anerenga mafuta gonunchi.
That's a very expensive perfume.
Amene ndi perfume wo dhula kwambiri.
It used to be well known in Israel.
Zim anali oziwika bwino mu Israel.
If you have wealth, it could be counted among assets you have.
Angaduna ninayo chuma, perfume ya mawerengedwa ngati ndi mozo akatundu amene uli naye.
And here came this woman.
Ndaba pakubera mkazi uyu.
She looked at Jesus and she had deep respect for Jesus. And her life was really touched. Through the ministry of Jesus, she saw a Savior. She felt a great privilege. Any opportunity she could have, she wanted to hear what is Jesus speaking. When she sees Jesus, she didn't want to get busy with plates. Because it was very rare to have an opportunity with him. She just wanted to be found sitting in a corner somewhere to hear what is the Lord speaking. And this day she saw the Lord Jesus sitting. And she looked at his feet. She decided to anoint them with that expensive spikenard. Now, I want you to observe what is happening in that house. Let us all go in that house together. Let us be in that environment.
Amen.
Those of you here who want to join Mary, you can go and join preparing the plate. But I want us to go to the sitting room. The apostles are sitting. They are talking about a testimony which happened from the meeting yesterday. Everyone is talking. And the Lord is also seated there. Probably they are talking about how are we going to move next? Which place are we moving to? And back in the kitchen, the plates are making noise. Mary is very busy. But suddenly, there's quietness. Everyone's like, there's spikenard smelling here. So, one whispers, look what she's doing. Sister Mary is pouring a very expensive perfume at the feet of the Lord. And you know what she does? In verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard very costly and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. You know, here is the beauty, the glory of a woman. She didn't wipe the feet with a handkerchief. She used her glory. She used her hair. Wow, that was a strange thing. Probably Peter was confused. What's going on? But talkative as Peter is, if the Lord was quiet, he decided to keep quiet also that morning. But there is a brother.
Koma panali mbale.
Who spoke?
Amene analankhula.
I want you to observe the words he spoke. Now remember, we are in that room together.
Yes.
I want to ask what your thoughts will be. What you think about this brother. Hear what he says. Now, the one who is writing this testimony is Brother John. He's the author of this book.
Yes.
He was a friend of Judas. He was a friend of Peter. He knew all this. Now, let us hear his account. Because he was in that room. Then, saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? You know, I would say, Brother Judas, he is mission-minded. This could have been sold. Now see how quickly he valued the price. This could have been sold at least not less than 300 pence. And he doesn't say so that we use the money on ourselves, no. We help the poor. Believe me, you, if you were in that room, and your mind was economical. So really, if you sell that expensive oil, how many more people be helped? A lot of people be helped. But what is happening here? It is being poured at the feet. The feet which afterwards will step in the dust again. Judas looked at that. Now, this is King James Version. But let's look at it in a very simplified language of what Judas is saying. Judas is saying, it is being wasteful to pour that expensive oil at the feet of the Lord. Because there is better work it can achieve out there. Going by word, going by the tone of voice he used, it was a voice of concern. Concern for the poor. Concern for the work of God. But the brother writing this testimony cannot be deceived like all of us.
Yes.
Remember, we are in that room. John,
Johann,
he doesn't have kind words to describe Judas. Listen to what John says. Verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And had the bag and bear what was put therein. Now you know, when Jesus is moving from place to place, people like to give him some offering. So Jesus appointed, well, I don't know whether it's him who appointed, or Judas may have volunteered.
Yes.
But what we know is Judas is the one who was keeping the offering. So when brothers come and say, oh, we want to contribute something for your food, for your transport, everyone knew, okay, give Brother Judas. But John knew something. He would look at Judas. Says, Brother Judas, how much was it?
Says,
we'll count as we reach
there.
John looked at that and he could read between the lines of what was going on. That was Brother Judas.
Amen.
So John says, hey, don't be fooled. It's not because he cared for the poor. He was a thief. But that tells us something.
Amen.
Judas had that weakness.
Judas,
sometimes he would say, okay, how much is the collection? I think my family needs food today. Anyway, I'll remove 10,000 kwacha. I'll replace it. There's a client I'm waiting for. I'll replace it next week. But he doesn't inform the disciples. He himself is the decision maker, you know. He makes the plans in his thoughts and says, I'll replace it next week. Sin is conceiving.
Amen.
How does it conceive? It's a thought. It's a simple plan.
Yes.
It's a very innocent act. I'll replace.
Amen.
But you know, once, when you cross a red light once, You ignore it again another time. If I am a driver, and I'm standing on the traffic lights, and I say, ah, there's no vehicle here. Or maybe there's a vehicle and it's red. I say, ah, I can drive fast here. I break the rule.
Amen.
That means I'll do it another time.
Amen.
So you cross a red light once, you do it for the second time, third time, and it will become a habit.
Amen.
The first time you do it, your heart will condemn you.
Say,
this is not right.
Amen.
But you do it a second time. And then it will become a habit. And once it becomes a habit, you feel God understands. Judas could see Jesus discerning the secrets of the hearts. Telling people what they think about. But you know what? Not a single day did Jesus say, Judas, you took some money from the
bank.
And the quietness of Jesus over those secret things to him, he took it. God has permitted it.
Amen.
But let's be careful.
Amen.
The quietness of God does not mean he's not saying it.
Amen.
Because God speaks through your conscience as a small, still voice. The Lord will tell you the anger you have against a brother is not right. This wrong habit you have, your heart will condemn you. I think this is not right. Now the word of God says, if your heart condemns you, your own heart, you need to know God is greater than that heart. If your heart condemns you, just know God already knows. God is aware of that condemnation. And it's him who put it there. You know, before we had the written Bible, God wrote this Bible in the conscience.
Yes.
That is why even a thief who's never read the Bible, he steals at night. Because he knows what I'm doing is not right.
Yes.
So now you see Judas.
So
now
you see Judas.
He says, I'll replace it. The wrong habit was growing. He was watering it. He was thinking about it. When sin is growing, it doesn't look harmful. Because you don't experience anything bad. There is no one else who sees you. You are the only one who experiences that. But remember, it is growing. It's producing leaves. What was once tender and shaky is becoming a strong stem. But why was Judas doing those things? Didn't he see miracles? Didn't Brother Judas see blind but Mary's eyes see? Didn't he see water turn into wine? Why are you doing that, Brother Judas? Haven't you seen bread multiplied by the power of God?
Yes.
Why is Judas still doing that? No amount of the work of God can convert a heart if a heart is not willing to repent.
Amen.
Always remember this. You can never change what you tolerate. You can never change what you tolerate. If someone tells you this is wrong, or maybe you always come late to church, and your deacon tells you, you come late every day, and you say, the reason is, you know, my wife was still cooking.
Or,
I woke up early and I was doing this and that. An excuse is a toleration of a wrongful act. And anything you tolerate, you can never change. Things that change are those things for which you felt guilty and your heart is broken about it and you want that thing to go away. But if there is space in your heart for something compromised, it means you've tolerated it. And you are a king in your heart.
Amen.
Not even God will force you.
Amen.
Because that choice is in your hands.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Is a gentle savior. His voice is meek. It's you to hear and to repent at his feet.
Amen.
But Brother Judas,
Judas,
he added one little action on top of another.
Amen.
But when it was time for prayer, he was there.
Amen.
When it was time to build the church, he is there. He is also passing on the brick and the mortar. Do not think Brother Judas is that guy who is in a tavern out there. When Jesus says, go out for evangelism, Brother Judas was there. But his heart was nurturing sin. And in his eyes, it was a little sin. Something which Jesus did not even reveal in a vision to say, Judas, you did this and that. There was that little voice which was telling him this is wrong. We know he had that conscience because of the suicide he committed. It means that voice at one time used to be stronger, telling, but this is wrong. But he started growing up into that sin. Until that sin, it graduated from conception, from thought, to little actions of sin. Now, you know what sin does? When you provide manure for it, that plant begins to grow. And it declares itself for what it is. From a little thought, it becomes a strong defense. Now looking for an opportunity. Do you know when now Judas noticed that Pharisees are looking for a way to kill Jesus? By the time it was the third year now, it's a tree which is in Judas. It was producing fruits. Because the Bible says, Judas now was seeking for an opportunity. When Pharisees are discussing, he was among them. That was now terrible. He is now no longer trying to be a good brother. He is now seeking for an opportunity. Let us read John chapter 12. Let us read Luke 22, verse 3. 22. We are going to read in two places. Let us open Luke 22, verse 3. Let's start from verse 2. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. They want to kill Jesus, but they are afraid. So if we just kill him suddenly, he has healed people. Some people believe in his testimonies. People instead, you know, will turn against us. And Judas knew that. He observed that the Pharisees, you know, they want to find a way to get Jesus. And he desired money. We don't know what credit he had or what business project he had. But he needed the money. That sin was a tree in him now. Verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot. Now, the thing which was knocking, it now has an open door. It can go in and use him as a vessel. You know, there is a time when sin knocks. And there is a time when you become one with sin, even when a door is open, sin just enters. That's what happens when you have a house. If one is a visitor, he knocks, right? But if he becomes a person who is very used, you are very close. They'll just enter the house without knocking. That's what is happening to the heart of our brother. Satan just enters to use him. Verse 4, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. Are you seeing this was not an accident?
Yes.
He communed. He planned. This is what we're going to do. Judas, tell us, where is he found? Usually when it's in the evenings, he loves to go and pray in a certain place. That is not a mistake. That is not a thought. That is a well-planned sin. It has matured from sin to iniquity. Total wickedness. What is Judas doing with the Pharisees? They're sitting down in a dark meeting, planning out what happened to our brother. Was he not remembering the great miracles? Wasn't he remembering how blind Bartimaeus received his sight? Wasn't he remembering the multiplication of bread? Wasn't he remembering Jesus walking on the water? There he is with the sinners, telling them where Jesus loves to pray. Telling them how much he needs to be given. Sin had grown to maturity. Without shame, he was one with sin. What is happening? Satan is on the throne in his heart. Verse 6, and he promised and sought opportunity. He promised and did what? Sought opportunity. Can you imagine that? Seeking opportunity of how Jesus can be arrested. When it's time for him to fellowship, he comes and meets the Lord. Oh Lord, so where is the next missionary trip? Yet in his mind, he is from fellowshipping with the killers. Brethren, that was iniquity. He is asking, not because he is interested in the next crusade meeting. He wants to know where Jesus will be.
Amen.
To tell the Pharisees where they can meet him. Sin has grown into strong branches, into red ripe fruits. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. How did Judas come to this place? We can see it in what he did that day when they were pouring perfume at the feet of the Lord. All the days he walked with Jesus, he never learned a thing, because he never valued where those feet were leading him.
Amen.
When expensive perfume was poured at those feet, he felt there was a better place the perfume would have been used.
Amen.
He didn't value those feet. But let's look into this woman. Mary.
Maria.
Was that just a by the way act she did? Did she just do it? Says, oh, I think let me pour perfume at his feet. No. Mary valued those feet.
Maria, now
we can see it in Luke 10, verse 38. Luke 10, verse 38.
Luke 10, verse 38.
This was another day Jesus had visited the house. Visited the same house. And see what happened. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word.
Ndipo pakupita pa ulendo wawo pao iye analowa muzwina ndipo mkazi wina zinake Marita anamulandira iye kunyumba kwake ndipo anali ndi mbale wake otchedwa Maria ndiye wakukhala pa mapazi a Ambuye namva mawu ake.
She sat where?
Anakhala pati.
Where did she sit?
Kodi iye anakhala pati?
At the feet of the Lord.
Pa mapazi a Ambuye.
I can see Jesus sitting on the chair. And the sister was sitting there. Asking the Lord questions. Amen.
Amen.
The way our sisters are seated. You are seated here at the feet of the Lord.
Amen.
When someone is talking. And you are listening. You are learning. It means you are sitting at their feet. Her sister was busy with the plates. I think Martha loved her plates and pots. When she hears, oh, the preachers have come, her first thought, kitchen. But Mary says, when he moves from here, I won't have a chance.
Amen.
She went and found herself in that room also. And the Bible says, she sat at his feet hearing the word. Listening what he was telling the disciples.
Amen.
And she just enjoyed that word.
Amen.
When Jesus visits that home, it was in the habit of Mary to stop what she's doing, to sit down and hear the thoughts Jesus is speaking.
Amen.
Why was she hearing that? She wanted to know the mind of the Lord.
Amen.
What is he speaking? And now, for Martha, she was doing a good thing. But she was always busy trying to prepare food for Jesus. Trying to work for Jesus.
Amen.
But Mary,
Kuma Maria,
wanted to hear the word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.
Kuma Marita anatekeseka ndi kumtumikira kwambiri. Ndipo anaza konati, Ambuye, kodi simusamala kuti mbale wanga anandisiya nditumikire ndekha. Mumuze sono kuti andithandize. Kuma Ambuye anayankha nati kwa iye, Marita, Marita, udankhawa nuvutika ndi zinthu zambiri.
koma chisoweka chinthu chimodzi pakuti Maria anasangadira loko mari imene sizachosedwa kwa iye.
Do you now understand why Mary could take her expensive asset?
Kodi sobano mukuta kumvesa chifukwa chimene Maria anatengera mafuta ake odhula aja
and poured it at the feet of the Lord.
Ndikwasanulira apa mapazi ambuye.
She loved that ministry.
Amakonda utumiki umenewo.
She loved the words Jesus would speak.
Amakonda mawu amene Yesu ankayankhula.
It took a lot of business for her to buy that perfume.
Zinatengera kuchita geni mochuluka kuti akagule mafuta amene.
But to her it was worth being poured on those feet.
Koma kwa iye zinali zoyenerera kukasanulira pa mapazi amene acha.
Where you pour your spikenard,
kumene masanulira kwa zinthu zanu zonukhila zakudula,
shows what your heart values.
Zimene zimasonyeza mtima wanu lili.
Right?
Yes.
For these great men of God, for them to be here,
kwa amuna opambana Mulungu awa kuti akhalali pano,
the pastors we have,
azibusa medi nao,
there is a Mary somewhere.
Pali Maria pena pake.
Who said, let me give something.
Amara mundrole ndipereke kena kake.
So that this ministry can take the word in different places. Another person will look at that and think, isn't that wasting money? Well, because that person does not value the feet of the ministry. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Why did Judas end up the way he did? Why did he betray the Lord? We see that he never valued those feet. Money is what occupied his mind. To buy food. To invest in another business. Until that business took him to the rope. Later on, when he realized that, oh my, I have sold innocent
blood.
He had the money. These religious people gave him money. Remember what he told them? He said, okay, let's move in the night. The one that I'll give a kiss. That's the Lord. Imagine how terrible, despicable that thing was. There was Jesus praying. In the dark of the evening. The disciples are there with him. Jesus is troubled in the heart. He sweats blood. He is in his final struggle. But the one who betrayed him was not a Pharisee. Was not a Roman soldier. It was a man who sat with him.
Amen.
Coming in the dark of the night with torches. And you know the worst thing Judas did was not the meetings he was having with those people. The worst thing Judas did was not the theft from the offering bag. The worst of all his acts was when he met the Lord, saying, Master, Master. And embraced the Lord. And kissed him on the cheek. And kissed the Lord. And the Lord answered, Judas, you betray me with a kiss. That was hypocrisy at its height. An embrace to show the killers he is the one.
Amen.
That was terrible.
Amen.
That was wickedness. But hear me, saints. We've received the word of God. We repented our sins. We got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us not just read about Judas. When we are not faithful to the word we have been called to, we are doing the same thing Judas did.
Amen.
At your workplace, in your personal life, in your family, in your marriage, do not give another kiss of betrayal. Saying, Lord, I love you. Lord, I worship you. But yet our lives betray the Lord.
Amen.
We are crucifying him the second time.
Amen.
Let's not be like Martha. Busy with church activities. But our hearts are not in fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
Don't just be part of a church meeting like this. Have a time as an individual, as a believer.
Amen.
When you walk alone in the room and say, I'm spending time with the Lord now. When you search your heart. When you commune with him. Have a time where you are personally with the Lord. When you read this scripture. When you listen to the word of God. Some people, they record sermons. Listen to the preaching. If it's a message tape, listen to it, yes. Prayerfully. Searching your heart. Lord, show me your will.
Yes.
Forgive my sin. Where I am weak, Lord, help me. I don't want this habit in me. I don't want this habit, Lord, deliver me.
Amen.
Make time when you can pray and fast.
Amen.
Why? You want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
That's what it is, sense.
Amen.
Treasure sitting at the feet of the Lord. Put value in your personal relationship with God. What did Brother Branham say?
He
says, I don't seek to make an organization.
He
says, if I can achieve one thing, is to introduce a man to Christ so that he is in a personal relationship with God.
Amen.
There was one time I was in India. The first time. And so everyone was asking, Brother Peter, what's the strength of your church? So that was the first time I heard a question like that. What's the strength of your church? So at first I got confused. I didn't know what they were asking.
He
says, oh, women, what's the number of believers in your church?
He
said, oh, okay. I didn't understand that. I went to another place. A brother asked me the same thing. Brother, what's the strength of your church? So when they ask that, they mean how many people are in your church. So if I ask the pastor here, what is the strength of your church? I'll tell you. The strength of the church are not the people you are counting. Because very far a church can look big. The strength of a church are people who've been converted in their heart. The strength of the church are people who pray on their knees. Not when we're together like this. But on their own. When they are spending time to speak to the Lord. That's the strength of a church.
Amen.
When people walk closely with the Lord, on Sunday, their hearts go in the house of the Lord to say, I want to hear what the Lord is speaking to me today. May we be that church. May you be part of that strength. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we stand? Let us stand. Remember, our strength is at the feet of the Lord. That is where we hear His word. That is where He heals our hearts. That is where He uproots the wrong seeds in our hearts. But when we are not sitting at His feet, when our hearts are not hearing the heartbeat of what God is speaking, weeds will grow in our hearts. We'll be in church, but so many wrong thoughts.
Amen.
But at the feet of the Lord, His word will grow.
Amen.
Shall we bow our heads? If you are there, and you're saying, the Lord is speaking to me, Brother Peter. And I need prayer.
Amen.
Just lift your hand to the Lord. If that is your prayer. And I'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, you can see every hand which has been raised. You know the need of that hand. You know the need of that heart, Lord. And when we are weak, Lord, you are strong.
Yes.
And so, Lord, may you give strength to my brother.
Amen.
May you give strength to my sister.
Amen.
That your word in its power may uproot every weed, every seed that would desire to grow into maturity of death.
Amen.
Lord, uproot it. And may that heart, Lord, be a fertile environment for your word. Yes, Lord, with man it's impossible, but with you all things are possible.
Amen.
You can transform a heart, Lord, into a heart that loves you, that desires to hear your word. Help us, Lord, as your church. May you pour out your blessing, Lord, upon each and everyone, that Heavenly Father, we may walk more closely with you. Grant it, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.